Now, I'm joined in the studio by two very handsome men. Hopefully that's not sexist. Am I allowed to say that?
Yes, please. Carry on.
I am joined in the studio by Luke Hunt Coldham and Vic Gray. They are both from the Thurrock Courts Players, who are an amazing bunch of actors and actresses. We don't say actresses now?
Yeah, okay.
And they put on loads of productions over the years. You've been going for how long, Vic?
Well, 1956.
There we go.
I've been with the company since 69.
The work these guys put into a production is unbelievable. So they're here today to talk about The Audience, which is going to be their next production at the Thameside Theatre. So tell us about The Audience.
Well, it's an absolutely beautiful place. So it came to the West End in 2013, and Helen Mirren, as we all know, played the Queen in... well, the film The Queen, wasn't it? And so the whole play is based on the private audiences that the Queen has had with her prime ministers since her succession in 1952. And this goes all the way up to David Cameron in about 2016. So you see all of the prime ministers, Margaret Thatcher, Winston Churchill, Anthony Eden, all the way through. And it's kind of like little sort of episodes that go in and out, and it's flashbacks. And we have a lovely young actress as well who plays the Queen when she reflects on her life as a child growing up in Buckingham Palace. So it's very sentimental. There's a lot of humour in it. A lot of prime ministers not knowing what to do. A lot of them stick their foot in it. And Vic plays Winston Churchill, sort of starts off right at the beginning and kind of tells the Queen how things are done. Mm. So it's very much an emotional roller coaster, and it's a beautiful insight into the life that the Queen has had, and what a perfect time to look at that then at the moment for the Jubilee.
Yep, and Vic, what was it like actually getting into that character of playing Winston Churchill? And also, because I know the Thurrock Courts Players are also very good with your accents if you're doing impersonations of people. So how long did it take you to get into that character?
Well, the entire rehearsal period, really. I mean, obviously, I had to do some research to be able to audition for the part in the first place. So I must have got it fairly close for the audition. But it has gradually changed over the months, you know. So I think I'm just about there. It's funny because if I'm just me and trying to do it, I get it okay. But once I get the costume on and I bend my back and I lean on my walking stick, you know, that voice suddenly comes out that so much better, you know?
And who have you got playing the Queen? Because there's a couple of, obviously, different generations of the
Queen.
Yeah,
so we've got three actresses playing the Queen. So we kind of go from really dark brown hair to grey hair to pure white hair. So we kind of go through those periods of her life. So the youngest one, actress called Louise Allsop, she plays the youngest Queen. And then we go to Tori Grayling, who plays the kind of Queen between the 70s and the 90s. And then Jill Snelling, who plays the Queen later on between kind of Tony Blair and David Cameron and Gordon Brown time. It's done so seamlessly how one Queen then goes and the next one comes on, and then you're completely transported to another period of time where the costumes are completely accurate to the time. So it's not like we start from 52 and work our way through chronologically. Mm. You might be Margaret Thatcher, then next year with Cameron, and then you go back to Churchill. So it's kind of, you know... Yeah, it goes back and forth.
And was there a different, what would you call it, with David Cameron on, you might have had Winston Churchill, it's because we've changed socially over the years, is the interactions a lot different from, say, Winston Churchill coming up to David Cameron?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I said before, I think Winston Churchill kind of sets the tone of what the audience is all about. Because in the first scene, the Queen is in mourning for her father, so she's all in black. She's very, you know, she's still... very naive as to the whole what is the monarchy, and Vic playing Winston sort of tells her quite like the bulldog he is, kind of, this is how things are done.
Yeah, I explain it to her, you know, no, you can't do that, that's not how it's done, you know. But by the time we get to the end of her reign, she's very much in charge, isn't she?
Yeah.
She keeps them all on her toes at the end,
Now, you are going to be at Lakeside on Saturday the 4th of June.
Yes.
Is this in the middle bit where the lifts are?
Yes, the main central atrium. Yes, very exciting. Yes, so we're going to have all the characters there all dressed up, so you can come down. And I think we'll be there between 10 and roughly about 5 o'clock, so for most of the day. So they'll all be in costume. Come take your photograph with them. Come meet, you know, Margaret Thatcher and the Queens. And we've got two beautiful chairs. Gorgeous chairs. that they're going to be sat in, and you come take a picture with them. So it's just to be a nice chance for you to actually meet them in the flesh.
Yes, and have your picture taken.
Yes.
It worked well in Greystown Centre a few weeks ago.
Yeah. You know,
people were really happy to come along and
they did double
stand
takes.
Next to the Queen.
They thought, is the Queen's in Greys?
Yeah.
No, darling,
down.
No, she's in Windsor.
I'm sure she has been there a few times, but it mustn't say anything bad. Who's directing, who's producing?
Well, I'm directing it, and it's kind of been my baby, really, because I've been putting this play forward for a couple of years, and then because of COVID, we couldn't really do it. Yeah. So, but it perfectly timed that it meant that it coincided with the Jubilee. So I've been very much behind it all. Just from little things, like I'll be going to charity shops looking for authentic, you know, props and things of the time. Yeah. Like we needed a mobile phone from 1986 and we managed to find one.
Yeah.
It's just
brick.
It was great. But I think that's, with this kind of play, you are looking for that detail. So we actually reenact the coronation in 1953. And there's a beautiful moment where the older queen is reflecting on the coronation and the curtains open to reveal the younger queen, all dressed up in the regalia, with Zadok the priest playing, and it is a hair-raising moment.
It is. Mm.
It's beautiful. So we've got all the regalia with the St. Edward's crown that I've made, and the orb and the sceptre and the robes, and it's just under a spotlight, under the chandelier. It's just absolutely stunning. You just stand there and you look at the queen, and you almost feel like you're sort of transported there in this heavenly way, and it's just beautiful sight to behold. And there's a lovely moment in the play, it's towards the end, where all of the prime ministers, where you have the kind of God Save the Queen underscore going on, and they're all lined up there with their heads bowed to the Queen as she walks towards them, and it's, you feel very proud. And I think that's the beauty with this play, is that if you are, you know, you don't necessarily have to be a monarchist or a royalist or someone who's interested in politics, but if you're proud of this country and the history that it's had, and I think the Queen and the Prime Ministers personify that, and you just, you know, it makes you feel very British watching it.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And how did the person who actually wrote this, how did they get the, was that just an idea that came to them, or did they actually have inside information of what was talked about?
Well, this is the interesting thing, because it's a private audience.
You know,
it's not recorded. But the author, Peter Morgan, who's very famous for writing The Crown, he's massive. Like he wrote Bohemian Rhapsody as well. He's the guy behind that. And any film that you can think of to do with politics or the royal family, it's usually Peter Morgan.
Yeah.
So he has got this massive amount of anecdotes and research that at his fingertips that he's used from different sources from within inside the palace to create these plays and these scripts. So yes, okay, it's not 100% accurate because you don't know what exactly was said, but from what was going on at the time, you can really work it out. So, for example, in the John Major scene that she has, played by Wayne Prince, and he's he's very, very good John Major. He really looks the part.
Yeah.
And he almost started off talking like Kermit the Frog. That was the only way to get the voice.
He was sort of, hello, there you are, John Major. Hello, more peas, dear.
And we're in 1992, which is the Annus Horribilis. So the Queen has a stinking cold in this scene. And there's a lot of turmoil going on in the palace with divorce and other things going on. Windsor Castle burning down, having to give up Britannia. And you see the Queen in a very different light because her whole world's getting turned upside down and she's having to show emotion, which you hardly see. And that's another thing I love about this play, is that you see these characters not just as you see them on the television and read about them in the news, but they are real people with real emotions.
Yeah.
And they break down and they laugh and they cry and they get angry.
Mm.
But you never see that.
Yeah.
But in this play you do.
Yeah. Now, tickets are what? They £15 each?
£15 each.
Which
that's
is
it.
Great
nothing.
Night out. That's nothing for a fantastic night at theatre. And you're running between the 9th to the 12th?
11th.
11th.
Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And And we need bums on seat. Any of the groups that I have in from the different, although you are the best and my favourites, you know, they put on amazing productions. There's so much work. As Luke was saying, you know, even with props, you might think, oh, and that's an original thing that they've got from wherever it is. So it's all, it's a massive team of people. It isn't just people on the stage. It's people behind the scenes. It's people selling the tickets, doing the promotion. And it takes a lot of work. It's not anything. They're not being paid to do anything. This is what you do because you love theatre and you want to keep it alive. Yeah. Now, we want to keep theatre alive in Grays at the Thameside. It is a fantastic theatre. We don't want it knocked down. What's happening with Thameside? Because I know you guys have been at the forefront of trying to get this place saved.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. We set up a group called Save Your Thameside. Totally apolitical, you know, people from all walks of life. We fought it, basically. And the council realised that we meant business. And eventually we managed to persuade them that it's in their interests to keep the theatre going, but they can't afford it. And we recognise that they can't afford it. So we proposed that we take it into community, you know, in as a community asset. Mm. So we've had lots of discussions. We've formed a business which is going to be charitable. And we've written a business plan, 30-odd pages. It's really, really detailed. And handed it into them on the 31st of March. As far as we're aware, they're very happy with it and they're kind of ready to go ahead. But unfortunately, councils tend to close down before an election and for a period after the election. So they're not actually going to present this plan to the full council until the first week of July.
Yeah.
But fingers crossed and touch wood and everything else you want to do, we think that we will be able to run the whole complex pretty soon.
Yeah. So great venue for music as well.
Well, we would like to open it up more for that kind of thing. You know, we need to expand what the complex offers.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, people tend to sort of just talk about it being a theatre, but there are loads of spaces
there. There's 73,000 square foot of space in that building.
There's lots of space there that can be used for smaller, you know, comedy nights, for example. Yeah. People, new groups that haven't got anywhere to perform, you know, they could just come along, we can advertise them, have a bar open, and just, if you only have 20 or 30 people sitting around, that's fine, in a corner somewhere, absolutely fine. Yeah. We want to make it a centre for the arts, not just a centre for theatre, but a centre for the arts. And also possibly, well, not even possibly, definitely use it as a hub, a place where we can prepare things that we can then perhaps take out around the community.